Turn in your Bible to Psalm 34, verse 2, please. Psalm 34, verse 2. I want to talk to you about boasting. There's good boasting, there's bad boasting, and then there's some admonitions that I want to give to you. We will first deal with the good boasting. Good boasting. But then I have more, it seems like, of the bad. But the good boasting is Psalm 34, verse 2. Psalm 34, verse 2. And then Psalm 44, verse 8. And we'll just deal with these two as our springboard. And so stand with me as we read from God's holy word, the Bible, the King James Authorized Version of the Scriptures, very best translation in the English language. Nothing will ever come close to it, in my opinion. It is God's word. It is inspired, preserved. I can't say too much good about my Bible. Amen. Thank God for the word. Psalm 34, verse 2. Read it together and we'll pause wherever there's any punctuation at all so that we can stay together. Psalm 34, verse 2 first. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now over to Psalm 44 and verse number 8. Psalm 44 and verse 8. These are the two positive boastings. We should boast in the Lord. And look at how often we ought to boast in the Lord is this next verse. Psalm 44, verse number 8. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. Boy, what a truth here. We pray that God will bless it to our understanding and that we'll boast in the Lord and not in ourselves, that God might be praised and honored. Our Father, we love Thee. Thank Thee for the wonderful Word of God. We thank Thee for our lovely Lord Jesus dying at Calvary, becoming sin for us. Dear Lord, just so marred more than any man, Isaiah says, Thy precious Word from Isaiah. We thank Thee, dear Lord, that young boy said, after we had the preaching time out there around the basketball goal, and he said, did God write the Bible? How we thank Thee that we could say, yes, yes, yes. God is the author of the book, every part of it. And He wrote it through holy men of God. Every bit of this book, the Bible, is Thy word. And dear God, we know that Thou art the one who wrote it for Moses on Mount Sinai with Thy own finger. And dear Lord, You did write the rest of it through holy men of God. We thank Thee for Thy word. Great is Thy word, as Thou art great, our Father. We thank Thee that Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. Now bless it tonight, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In God we boast all the day long. We ought to go around boasting about what God has done. He has saved us by His grace. And we're getting the blessings and we should receive the cursings. But He took our curse at Calvary for us. He became a curse. Cursed be everyone that hangeth on the tree. And He hung on that tree for me. Praise His name. We ought to go around boasting about what God's doing in our life. If God did one thing for you, by the way, if the Lord never did another thing for you, praise God, He saved us. Amen. But oh, He does things, all His benefits are all the time. And we ought to praise Him all the time. Now we're going to look at some of the bad boastings in the Bible. Psalm 49, go over a couple Psalms. Psalm 49, verse 6 through 8 tells us here, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, boasting about their wealth and their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Then Psalm 94, verse 4. Go over to Psalm 94. Verse 3 and 4. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay a widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard. Oh, do you notice that these are the associations and the things that these people who are boasters go around doing all the time. Mistreating widows, mistreating the fatherless, the orphans, workers of iniquity. Then some boast of idols. Psalm 97, verse 7. It says here, confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Here they boast of idols. Thank God we shouldn't have any idols in our life. Our only one that we worship is the Lord God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Idols are an affront to God. God hates idol worship. All the way through the Bible, God tells us how he hates idol worship. And as Israel went back into idol worship, how the curse of God came upon them. Then when they gave their idols up, how the blessing and the windows of heaven were opened up and blessings prevailed there. Turn over to Romans 1 verse 30. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 30 tells us, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. This word proud seems to be always associated with boasters. What a list. May you and I not be accused or guilty of boasting. I don't know. I don't like all those signs in the back of, by the way, our Christian school. I don't ever want our Christian school to say that my child made the honor roll. The next year they might get thrown out of school. Amen? So stupid. I think it's stupid. That's the wrong kind of pride. I think it's terrible. They ought to say, my child reads his Bible every day. My child knows how to pray and does it. My child is obedient. That would be something different to put on your bumper sticker. But not, listen, if a child is born an imbecile, you'll never be able to be so proud of them. Amen? I think you do a disfavor to those whose children are not born normally when you go around boasting about your child. And by the way, thank God for if they didn't have the innate abilities they have to develop those, you could never put that on your bumper as a bumper sticker. Amen. Other people, a bumper sticker sure tells a lot about people inside those vehicles, though. Oh, yes. Boy, I love cats. And on they go. I'm a horse lover, something. Oh, everything, unbelievable. And some of them even, I love my wife, and I kind of like that one. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Amen? That'd be good. And I've always appreciated some of those. And some of them just get lewd and filthy, wicked, just awful. So may God help us to be spiritually minded. By the way, to be spiritually minded, we must mind the Spirit. And the Spirit lives in everyone. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. So to be spiritually minded, we'll have to do, to be that way, we will have to mind the Spirit. When God tells us to do something, do it. When he tells us not to do something, we need to avoid these things that are displeasing to God. All right. Where do we get down to all those? No, we didn't get down there. Boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh my, verse 30. Disobedient to parents. This is not the only place that boasters and disobedient to parents is in line with the same list of things. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or listen than the fat of rams.
And the way you pleased God in the Old Testament was obedience in bringing your sacrifice and your and the fatted calf, the fatted lambs, and the sheep. Disobedient to parents without understanding. Covenant breakers without natural affection. Implacable, that means truceless. Unmerciful, truce breakers in other words. Unmerciful, like the terrible terrorists. They're unmerciful. They don't even know what mercy is. So filled with hate. That's all Allah and Mohammed do for people. I tell you, I sure don't have any confidence in their wickedness. They're all a bunch of false gods. Don't say one good thing about Allah. Don't you say one good thing about Mohammed. He conquered by the sword. You just read in your encyclopedias. Read in your history books about Mohammed. I have no use for that religion. I despise it and hate it almost as much as I do Catholicism. They run a close neck and neck in my book. No, thank God we're Protestants. I know some of you don't like that. We're Baptist Protestants. Protestant means I protest Rome. And I do protest Rome. I'm a Protestant Baptist, amen? Hallelujah. But I'm, first of all, I became a born-again, blood-washed, believing Christian. I was still a Methodist. Amen? Still in the Methodist church, but God saved me by His grace. Got me out of there real quickly. Praise His name. Amen. What does it say? I need to read that last verse. Who knowing the judgment of God and they that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Boy, don't want to be in this. Don't be associated with boasters. It's against God. If they're boasting, they need to be boasting in the Lord. Boasting about God. Not about themselves or their great accomplishments. So that just runs Rush Limbaugh right out of your listening, doesn't he? That statement he made it the other week. I was listening for the news. Made that statement again about something about God. That is taking God's name in vain, the way he deals with that thing. If you even know what I'm talking about. If not, come up and ask me later. I just won't even say it over. I won't even say it because I think it's so wicked. He needs to leave God out of his life until he repents and trusts Christ as his Savior. Makes him his God. He doesn't need to be talking about God. That is a curse to God when he talks that lightly about God. Amen? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain, and the music that starts the things of the devil too. Amen? Who's that other one? Dr. Laura. She's a Jew. Boy, she needs help. She's got a filthy mouth. Amen? She's got a low opinion about divorce too. Amen? She's too free about telling people to get divorces. Whew. Don't listen to that person. You're to lend your ear to godly people. Listen to godly music, godly people, and they talk about God in the right way. You say, well, they say have some good things to say. So do I'm sure the Jehovah's Witnesses have a few good things to say too. Don't the Masons have some good things? Don't they have burn centers for children? And it's all free? Hello? But I'm no Mason, and I'm telling you, my grandfather was a Mason, and my brother was a D-Malay boy, and my sister was the Queen of the Eastern Star, but I don't have anything to do with it, and I'm glad of it too. Hallelujah. I'm glad I never got into that thing. So the devil. Amen. These secret lodges are the devil. Do they do some good things? Yes. So you listen to them all the time. No, you don't listen to them all the time. You just thank God for the good things they can do for your children and other people's children and just say that, thank God they're kind and love people and are nice to people, but they're wrong. There's a lot of Catholic hospitals that do a lot of good for people too. But oh, when you go through there, you see all their Mariolatry. Oh, I hate Mary statues. I just, woo. Joseph or any of them. I hate idols. I hate those things. I want to pull them off the wall. say, well, don't do it because you don't, that's not your property. My son already tried that one time. It's a long story. Amen. We're not in a theocracy. We're in a democracy, republic, or whatever you want to call it. Amen. So leave other people's stuff alone. Now, if I had my way, I'd go down there and I'd destroy that mosque down here. But I can't do that. I'm in America. Hello? Amen? If I was back in Israel in those days, I'd say, well, we're going to do it tomorrow. No planning at all. But we're not. We're not. Amen? So there's things you can do and things you can't do. And if you do those things, you'll pay for it too. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's go on here. 2 Timothy 3. Go over there with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Oh, coveting is a terrible sin. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. You see it's in the list again? Boasters and disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. There it is again. Like in Romans 1. Truce breakers. There it is again. Implacable. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You're not to company with these kind of people. We're not to company with fornicators or people that don't talk the right way about God. Psalm 10, verse 3. We're talking about bad boasting now. Psalm 10, verse 2 through 4. Psalm 10, 2 through 4. Maybe you'll find it before me. Having a hard time finding it here. Oh, I'm in Job, no wonder. Psalm 10, verse 2 through 4. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous. You see coveting again? He's blessing the covetous. Oh, is that not going on in America? We're not to bless people who are coveting what other people have, their position or anything. We're to just thank God and do what we have to do for the Lord and be thankful. Blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. God abhors the covetous. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Wow. His ways are always grievous. Oh my. Terrible. Stay away from boasters is what we're saying. Proverbs. The next book, Psalms, then Proverbs 20. Look over there with me, verse 14. Don't be guilty of boasting. Boasting is not good for a Christian. Amen? Let someone else get all the praise. You just sit back and thank God that anybody loves you. Amen? And if it seems like nobody loves you around you, the Lord loves you. You and God make a majority in any situation. If God be for us, who can be against us? The great Spurgeon died early in his life and almost all of his friends forsook him. But we are reading his sermons more than any other man in the last generation, in the 1800s. Amen? You might have to pay a great price. He started his preaching to 6,000 at 25 years old. He would get so exhausted from the ministry that he'd sleep for 2 or 3 days. The pressures were so great in Spurgeon's life. He'd have to take a cruise and go away because of the pressures that were upon him in the ministry. And then his own brother, when he forsook and stepped out of the Baptist Union because of his convictions, he lost all kinds of friends. But God was still his friend. It's not easy to do right, is it? But they say he died an early death because he was so forsaken. But boy, praise God. I just read something just yesterday, what he said about a Bible college. It was really beautiful. It was anything but boasting. I'll print it and give it all to you all. What kind of a Bible institute or Bible college you should have. Marvelous, all through it. You know what he says down at the end? By the way, in there he says that his preacher boys he said, I recommend that you cause them to pray a half a day every week. Give themselves to nothing but prayer a half a day every week. And then at the end of the whole thing, he has this long list of things about Bible Institute. And then he says down at the end something like, if these can be of a help to you, God bless you. And if you don't think I'm right about it, just thank God and just find your own way. He didn't brag on himself. He just said, I may be wrong about a bunch of these things. I think I'm right. If they're a help to you, praise God. Humility. Humility, that'll go a long way. Especially for a man who's preaching to 6,000 for years. When nobody was preaching to 6,000, Spurgeon was. Amen? You know what they did one time? The Ringling Brothers or some one of those, Barnum and Bailey, they wanted him to come over and just preach at the World's Fair or something. And they said, we'll pay your way over here. It was so popular. You know what he did? He wrote back and he gave him a scripture verse. Oh, thou full of subtlety, thou child of the devil. You do not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord. That was his answer. Whew. They were going to pay him money and everything. He didn't care about money. He thought the carnival was carnal. Amen? May God help us to have some convictions and still preach with compassion. They say every sermon he ever preached, he'd start out with whatever sermon and he'd make a beeline for the cross of Jesus Christ, and he ended up at Calvary and their need for salvation. Though he was Calvinistic, they said that he criticized his Calvinistic brothers. He said, we must be after souls. We must be winning souls. That's our main job, is winning people to Christ. Verse 14, did we already read that? No, in our buying of things, we have to be careful. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. Oh, you shouldn't go in there, and even in a flea market, and say, well, that's not really worth that, and you really know it is worth that. Hello? And you jew the guy down way below what the worth is there. All you do is just say, I'll offer you so much, but you don't go bring him way down there beyond what he should be, and then act like that the thing isn't worth anything to anybody, and then you go away and then you boast how you got a good deal. The Bible says that's wrong. If you want to say, I believe that's worth this much to me, but I don't know what it's worth to anyone else, but that's what it's worth to me. Different matter. Hello? May God help us to be honest and upright. Then James tells us about the boasting of the tongue. I wish we had more of the positive ones. I have two other positive ones, though, for admonition about the boasting. But James 3:5, please. James 3:5. We'll look at that one right now. I have two of them in James, so go over there with me. Two of them in James, chapter 4, verse 16, and chapter 3, verse 5. We'll have 3:5 first of all. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their body. Is that the right one? 3:5. All right, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great
a matter a little fire kindleth. I need to really read 6 as well. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it is defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. It says in the Bible, no man can tame the tongue. But we need to be working at trying to all we can. James 4:16 tells us, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. May we boast in the Lord and not in wicked rejoicing in the wrong things. Acts 5:36. Just have a couple more here. Acts 5:36. We don't need to boast in ourselves, but we need to boast in our God. How great He is. How glorious and wonderful our Savior is. 5:36. 5:36 says, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. No, verse 36, I'm in 35. What ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody. Boy, don't we have a bunch of people like that today. One of the candidates, I won't have to give you his name, but isn't he boasting about so many things? Boasting. What about his accomplishments in Vietnam? Let's talk about that a while. Oh, unbelievable. How could anybody vote for a liar like that? They say you're not supposed to say these things in our churches. I tell you, when you got a man that deceitful, you can just name him all you want to. Everyone else is talking about him. Who wants a liar in the White House? Clinton already perjured himself under oath. We don't need his ilk anymore in higher offices. The Senate should have impeached him as well as the House did. Wickedness. What about every man that was in prison for perjury? And our president perjured himself. Clinton. Not our present one, but Bill Clinton. Billary or whatever his name was. Wicked. It's wicked to tell a lie under oath and then not go to prison for it. Wickedness. You know what they did? They also were partial in that too. God's against partiality. Amen? He should have been made an example to the whole world. Sad. By the way, it's a sad thing when the wife of a president says some bad things too. It puts all our women and all the whole country in the bad light. It's very important the type of woman. We don't need, and I'm not saying any of them are, but I'm saying that are running now, but we don't need a whore in the White House. Hello? As even the husband of somebody. Are you with me? Hello? We need a woman who's got some integrity, honesty. And I'll go a little step further. They too shall be one flesh. So, you know, if that be treason, make the most of it. Amen. Sad commentary in our country today. And by the way, it was only his third wife on top of it. Oh my. How does anybody think that we're all gonna get along with this certain fella? He's on his third wife. And she was a billionaire, so now he's a billionaire. Oh, anyhow, I need to quit here. There is something good. Jesus saves. Amen. And by the way, I believe Jesus saved our present president. I have all indications that he's a saved man. He's not an independent Baptist. The Lord will forgive him for that. Amen. But I believe he is forgiven, and I believe he's going to heaven where I'm going. He's even led people to Christ on the phone, I've been told. Led teenage boys to Christ right at these banquets and things. And then we already have, lest some of you would think I'm going too far,
We have a proof of that from the girl who came here when we were having the witch battle with the witches. She said, I just interviewed him as a governor, and I believe he's a born-again believer. And she'd been to Tennessee Temple and Bob Jones University both. She was a believer. She said, I just interviewed him. I believe he's a real Christian. Amen. Thank God for it. And then we have what? We have Benjamin Snodderly just went out there to Iowa a few months ago. And one of them gave a tract to Laura Bush. If I want to say something good about President Bush, I can say all the good I want to say. The press doesn't think I should, though. But I'm not living for the press. I'm living for God. By the way, the one fella, it was either Benjamin or it was, I think it was Aaron. And Aaron Snodderly, he said, I asked President Bush, are you a born-again Christian? And he looked back right at him. He said, son, I'm glad you asked the question. Yes, I am. I'm sure you'd have got a little different response out of someone else. Amen. We ought to pray for our president. Amen. Well, I have one more verse here and then a couple other ones that we've already covered and we'll be through. All right? Romans 3:27. Look at that one with me for just a moment. Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And then what does it say also in regard to salvation? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not to go. Our boast is in the Lord, not in our good works or ourselves. And then two admonition verses. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't boast about tomorrow. We don't even know if we'll be here. The Lord willing, I'll do this or that. That's what you're supposed to say. Don't even say, I'm going to a certain city and I'm going to do this and this. By the way, those ones that, what was the 10 I heard on the way to church tonight or one time, the 10 in this certain Hendrix or some kind of a business, and they all went down. Their plane went into a mountain and they all died. All these executives. There's a lot of wisdom in not all going in one plane. A lot of wisdom in it. Dr. Bob Jones Jr. and Dr. Bob Jones III, they said, we never go in the same plane together. And they had 10 of this business in one plane and it hit the mountain. And they said, the whole business is just about in a... Can you imagine if the 10 top executives went down in a plane? Amen? Split yourselves up, going three or four different planes, or at least a couple of them. Or vehicles, for that matter, cars. Very important. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And then, not of works, lest any man should boast. That was the one. But then I want to go back to our other two verses, and we'll be through. All right, what does it say? Psalm 34:2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's what Pastor Harvey says tonight. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And then secondly, what? Again, in God we boast all the day long. So our boast is in the Lord, and we're to boast about Him and His greatness and goodness and not about self or self-accomplishments. You know, that's what sinners do. You know, they have nothing else to do to hang on to. They don't have the Lord. So what do? They just tell about all the good things and the great things they've done in the days gone by. We ought to just, when we get old, we ought to just say, look what God did for me here, and look what God did for me here, and look what God did for me here, and look what God, and God used me in this area. Wasn't that wonderful what God did to help me to lead this certain person of the Lord? I hope you don't think I'm ever boasting when I get back here. I mean, it was exciting about an hour before church, wasn't it, Jacob? Wasn't it, Lane? It was exciting. I didn't even know if I should pull up there. Our old place where the other basketball goal, they tore that down, or the city made them take it out. And praise God, I saw a few around another basketball goal there that was back in the parking place by those apartments back over there in Loma Vista. Didn't even know if I was going to go over there. And I told Jacob and Lane, I said, go over there, and those people have already been in our Sunday school. The one girl there, what's her name? Huh? Evelyn. Evelyn. She's already been in our church. And her mother was there, and her mother's real friendly toward us. And I said, go over there and get them to come over to the basketball goal, and we'll have a little service over here. This was a couple hours ago, an hour and a half ago. And they did, and some of them came over. Evelyn's mother came over, and Evelyn came over and brought another lady over, and then she said, let me go in here, and I'm going to get this lady in here to come out. I said, well, okay, do y'all have any questions about the Bible or about how you got here or anything else? And the one boy asked one question. We were waiting for the others to come. Boy, we had a good crowd there. We had between 10 and 20 there. Really, that's how many were there. It was a good group. And they were all sitting on these tires already. So I said, they're already ready. And they sat there, and I just went over this and that and the other thing and talked to them about repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And then I talked to them about the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I asked the one boy, I said, is Jesus still alive? He said, no. I said, no, you're wrong. He is alive. And he can hear your prayers, and he can save you. And I asked him a little later, after we went off to something else, I said, son, is Jesus alive? Yes, he says he's alive. Amen. He believed the Bible, and he believed the preacher. Then I asked him what sin was, you know. Some of them knew. One little boy said, it's doing bad. I said, that's right. That's exactly what it is. Boy, get all these things cleared up. And all I gave to him is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and then I gave him two other things. So they got a good sermon. I gave my sermon from this morning. The greatest of these is love. The greatest thing you can do for God. And one kid said, get baptized. Another kid said, obey. I said, no, those are good. Another one said, something else, you know, good things. Even Evelyn, she said, worship. I said, boy, that's good. But what I'm looking at is love. The greatest thing you can do is love God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. And might. And then the second is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Praise the Lord. The Lord kept them all there. Then we had prayer. Man, I can't go around pray with every one of them. I had to get back here and get ready to preach. And so I got them all to bow their heads. And I said, I want y'all to pray out loud. Pray out loud. Follow me in a simple prayer. I said, first of all, I asked them, how many of you really want to be saved now? You really want to repent? And they raised their hands. Amen. They're still sitting there. I mean, we've been there a good 15 minutes by then. And then I said, well, so you want to receive Jesus as your Savior? Mm-hmm. Well, let's pray right now then. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just like we do here in church, you know. And then I asked them if they were sincere after they prayed. And we had a pretty long prayer, wasn't it, Jacob? It wasn't a short prayer. Amen. They have a lot to learn. And listen, if one or two of those boys, about six or eight of them said they really got saved, didn't they? About six or eight of them. And then they came up to us for the tracks and everything afterwards. They didn't just run off, go back to their basketball game too much. One boy did, but not the others. Well, what if one of those boys got saved and God calls him to preach? I'll tell you, isn't it wonderful what God could do? Because when I drove up, I was kind of scared. You know how you are. You say, you scared, preacher? Oh, man, I'm made of the old rotten flesh just like you. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, are the parents going to come out here cursing at me? Listen, I've been around long enough. You don't know what's coming out of that door. Huh? This is in a little parking area. You know, apartments, you know. And God blessed. Instead of talking to just a couple, we talked to 10 or 20 at one time. And two mothers were there and another mother's in the house. And isn't God good to give me my adult Sunday, I mean my Sunday school class in the evening? And most all of them were lost sinners needing to be saved. Oh. I believe some of them got it. Amen? I think they understood. Isn't it a privilege? I think we'll go around and tell them what God's done for us and what God has done. But we give Him all the praise. What are we? We're nothing. We're nothing but servants. Isn't it a blessing to serve God and try to be a witness? Even if you mess it all up, at least you're trying. At least you're trying to help people to see that Jesus is what they need. Amen? Oh, may God help us to just not go around boasting of self, but what God is doing, and may we do it all day long. We'll be the better for it. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee, Lord, that our boast is in Thee, and may it our boast be in Thee all day long. What a blessing just to be used in a small way, or a great way in any way, Lord, to be used to bring the water of life to perishing sinners, to little boys and girls before they get polluted by the things of this world. What a privilege to talk to these young ones, and then to a couple of the adults, a few of the adults. What a blessing to preach today. What a privilege to preach. What a privilege to do something that I love to do so much, is to give forth Thy wonderful Word. Dear Lord, may our preaching be boasting in what God is doing and what God wants to do in the lives of sinners and believers as well, that they might be saved and then grow in grace.